This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2020. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 6th, Armenia, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Cuba, Egypt, Finland, India, Indonesia, Japan, Korea North, Malaysia, New Zealand, Nigeria, North America, Oklahoma, Peru, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany describes a defective BBC World Service relay via Armenia this way. 5970 even, usual much bad modulation of BBC London English service via 300 kilowatts, 100 degree powerhouse Yerevan Gavar Broadcast Center to South Asia audience, scheduled at 01-02 UT, noted at 01-12. A lot of buzz audio, like a garden fence on plus minus 50, 100, 150, 200, 250 hertz, up to 600 hertz apart distance, both sidebands. And another single plus and minus 1,000 hertz high pitch string in addition. 6.8 kilohertz wide audio block seen on Perseus screen display. This transmission bad quality is not a reputation for the British Empire serving South Asia target audience. I used to hear the split frequency in the middle of the 31-meter band of Radio Aparecida, Brazil, in the middle of the night, when I'm often tuning around, but not lately. However, it was on the air January 30th at 22:51, 9630.345 variable, and parallel to their 25-meter band frequency, which is also way off and variable, 11856.303 at that time amid the mess from Cuba and jamming. So note those frequencies and the time, which might audibilize their Saturday DX program on Radio Aparecida in Portuguese. It's at 22 UT. According to JRX in Brazil, it's called Encontro de Xix. Monitoring a Canadian Coast Guard frequency for the Maritimes, 2749 USB, February 1st at 0732. There was marine weather in English by a synthetic woman's voice. However, a minute later, it was overlain by interference from a male human voice identifying as Halifax Coast Guard Radio, with sharper modulation so it was more easily readable. And then he continued in French, but with an English accent, with a sécurité warning about some marine obstacle or weather problem. And he went off, and the others Coast Guard station continued. Strange for them to be interfering with each other. The first one would have been VCO in Sydney, Nova Scotia, via the Port Caledonia site. Via Hardcore DX, Claudio Galas in Chile reports on those pirates in Chile. Radio Triunfal Evangelica, he usually reports around 5825, but this time it was on 3495, February 1st from midnight 50 to 0127, but he says it was a relay by another pirate, RCW, Radio Compañía Worldwide, with preaching until 0128, and then some songs with good reception, while RCW itself was heard on 6925 on another date, earlier, January 31st, at 2122, with music and even better reception. Broadcasting from China can surprise us. January 31st at 23:55 on 6140, I heard a woman singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Yes, that hymn or song in English until it cut off the air abruptly at 23:57. That was typical rude behavior of CRI, listed as their Cantonese service via the Kunming site during that hour. But why ever would that be broadcasting that song? February 1st at 0730, I had a barely audible carrier slightly above 2940. Presumably Radio Huella, the Cali, Colombia medium wave station, second harmonic from 1470, also off frequency. I had not detected it in some months. also reported by Jim Evans in Tennessee to the NASA flash sheet. January 31st at 05:06 to 5:17, ballad music, brief comments in Spanish, a weak signal and heavy noise with minor fading. He says usually only a carrier is heard at best, but there was some audio almost 100% of the time tonight. Don Moore from Michigan and friends are currently visiting Columbia, and he reports to the Michigan ARA tip sheet, the same station, Radio Huellas, that's HUELLAS 2940, heard January 26th at 0345 to 357, a weak and somewhat distorted signal, but ID at 356, two times 1470. It has been around for a while. I also heard it in Columbia in 2018, says Don Moore. And also in the mayor tip sheet, more about Colombia and Peru from Don Moore. He says, per Ralph Perry, ethnic radio ministry engineers are visiting stations in these countries to fix transmitter issues and help get a couple of new stations on the air. Apparently they were already in Colombia and worked on the transmitters for the stations on 5910 and 6010. However, I haven't heard any traces of either from here in Armenia, Colombia. They were also working on an unnamed and no-frequency-given new station in Colombia, which we've reported before. That is probably the projected station for Bahia Solano on 6105. That was mentioned in Ministry of Transport and Communications documents I found a few weeks ago, he says. As of January 25th, engineers were in Chasuta, Peru, to work on Radio Chasuta. After that, they were going to Pucallpa to work on a new station there. The Radio Chasuta manager told me about when I visited 2 years ago. And Radio Chasuta has also been reported by Don Moore on 4810, January 26th, midnight 45 to midnight 55, presume. A very strong signal with deep Andean music. Is there such a thing as shallow Andean music? Editor Harold Froge asks. There was a ute on the high side, but near perfect signal in lower sideband. Since then, have not heard more than a carrier on the frequency. That's usually the case here as I try to hear it. 4810, marred by huge utility noise on the high side of that frequency, and we're lucky to hear even a carrier from Radio Chasuta. Finally, I'm not the only one reporting spur blobs out of the 13 MHz band Radio Havana Cuba transmitters, originating on 13700 in the mornings, but not every morning, and 13740 in the evenings, but not so often. Obviously the same defective transmitter, because here's an off-topic report to the IRCA medium wave IO group from Phil Karn. He says, I was searching the web for mention of spurs from RHC and found a discussion. I can confirm observations here in San Diego on February 2nd at around 2355 using a Kiwi SDR and G5RV antenna. I found Radio Havana's nominal AM in Spanish on 13740 plus a whole bunch of spurs like 13807, 13670, 13600, 13789, 13942 kHz. Some seemed stronger than the main AM signal, and all appeared to be frequency modulated by the main audio, which is how I identified them. He says, I'm thinking of how these spurs could have been generated. Given that they seem to be centered around the main transmission, I can easily see how a conventional plate-modulated Class C AM transmitter could develop spurious oscillations that would appear as harmonically related sidebands of the main signal, with a varying high voltage due to the modulation, frequency modulating those spurious emissions. They could really use a new transmitter, but I suspect they will not get one for a while. It appears that Radio Cairo Egypt has hardly any, shortwave broadcasts still functioning, but keep checking some of their frequencies, as Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria has. He found 9540 on the air February 4th with Quran service from 1000 UT in a fair signal. That frequency is scheduled only at 18 to 19 UT in Italian from the Abbas site with 125 kilowatts. But it was off the air at 10:33. The first Friday in February means another monthly broadcast expected from the low power, about 100 watts, Scandinavian weekend radio in Finland, starting at 22 UT Friday for 24 hours, which is actually Saturday local time, as Ivo Ivanov reminds us. They run a frequency in the 6 and another in the 11 MHz band
I'm not going to give the scheduled hours because they do not seem to adhere to them. So check all four frequencies if you're looking for this DX, 6170-5980, 11690, or 11720. Furthermore, if you do hear them, they're likely to be slightly off frequency as an additional clue. But also watch out for much larger stations they may be conflicting with. Ron Howard in California reports another non-log of 5050 All India Radio AIZ AWL. Through February 4th from 11:30 UT continues to be off the air. It seems their reactivation in early January was very short-lived. Sad. By the way, I insist on pronouncing that short-lived because it derives from the word life, which we do not pronounce lif. Ron Howard also says, however, that February 2nd was a very rare day with audio slightly above threshold level with indigenous music from All India Radio Srinagar, Kashmir, 4950 at 1243. A still unsolved mystery is the true transmitter location now of 4750 carrying the voice of Indonesia. We all know it was originally at Makassar, far from Jakarta, on that frequency. But as I mentioned last week, there seems to be a mention from an engineer at RRI that it's now operating from Chimangas, which was the major shortwave transmitter site near Jakarta of VOI. Ron Howard brings up a number of historical items about the close down of Chimangas several years ago, so that would seem to be unlikely. But Wolfgang Büschel has been investigating further and finds a Google Earth image of 31 May last year showing 12 shortwave masts visible, plus a medium wave monopole there, and that only a 13th mast had been destroyed so far. Only the foundation of it could be seen. Furthermore, Wolfgang says there are two masts on the left side of the Chimangas view could be for 60-meter band antenna. February 4th at 16:03, I found a carrier on 5955, and then some rock music, barely audible. Presumably, it's Shokaze from Japan for Korea North about abductions on its latest frequency, which they change every month, although Ukrainian from Romania was also scheduled. Ron Howard replies, yes. Indeed, found Shokaze changed frequencies as of February 4th, replacing 7345. That leaves 7345 clear for China mixing with Tuzin Radio in Myanmar. And he says, I found one Shokaze frequency myself, 6145 at 1352. So according to Hiroshi, JSR Shokaze as of February 4th is on these frequencies, including English only on Thursdays for the first and last broadcast, 13 to 14, 6145 and 7245. 1405 to 1435, Japanese only, 6070 and 7325. And 16 to 17 on 5955 and 6020. The A20 HFCC meeting to plan frequency usage was supposed to be in China starting about now, but that had to be canceled because of the coronavirus. Jeff White was very concerned about this, but managed to get it relocated and rescheduled to Malaysia between February 24th and 28th, also according to Wolfgang Büschel. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2020. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our internet and other expenses continue, although no contributions have been received lately. They might be sent via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Those of us who can receive Radio New Zealand programming on shortwave are quite satisfied with its quality, but not so, it seems, in Zetters in charge. January 31st, Mike Terry sends a story from ABU headline, "The New Zealand Cabinet plans to create a new super-sized public broadcaster. It signed off on a high-level decision to proceed and commission a business case after the Minister for Broadcasting, Chris Fafoi, presented a revised paper. There was pushback about the implications for public broadcasting if RNZ ceased to be a standalone company and the speed at which it had been progressing. The plan was to work towards having the new media company in place by about 2023, That appears to still be the goal. RNZ was told the amended proposal puts a specific emphasis on the fact the new company will be primarily a public service media outlet, and to ensure it's made crystal clear in any legislation. The Media Watch program on RNZ had this headline, RNZ guts concert radio as it plans appeal to youth. In the biggest overhaul of music services in years, RNZ is planning to gut its classical music station, RNZ Concert, and replace it on FM radio with music for a younger audience as part of a new multimedia music brand. You could listen to the whole thing on demand, but here are some points. The broadcaster is proposing to remove RNZ Concert from its FM frequencies and transform it into an automated non-stop music station, which will stream online and play on AM radio. It would be replaced on FM by a service aimed at a younger, more diverse audience as part of a new multimedia music brand. RNZ Concert would be taken off FM radio on May 29th, and the youth platform would be phased in ahead of its full launch on August 28th. The move would eliminate 20 jobs at RNZ Concert, including all presenter roles from late March, to be replaced with 13 jobs at the new youth platform and 4 in the downsized RNZ Concert service. This led to lamentations about general decreasing access to classical music on the radio. John Filiozzi says, "Big changes coming to both RNZ and RTE in Ireland. This is understandable but regrettable, especially if the plan is to replace Concert with an automated impersonal service online. That's fine, but the curated classical programming now on Concert is some of the best available anywhere. Such a loss is to be regretted any time." Rich Cuff replies, "Bummer. Curated, that is, hosted classical music radio, has been on the general decline for years. Reminds me of the repositioning that CBC Radio 2 has done." Always off frequency, Voice of Nigeria, 11769.9 approximately, heard here on February 6th at 1835, seemed to be in English, but really too weak to copy well. There was a much stronger signal in DRM centered on 15120, presumably that was parallel English from Voice of Nigeria. McDelmage in Alberta reports hearing 11769.9, January 27th at 1834, with their 60 Minutes program, a great signal, but low audio. He signed off English at 1857, interval signal, and into another language at 1900. A very active North American pirate lately is Zeke's Attic. That's Z-E-K-E, but according to Harold Froge, he pronounces the name with two syllables. I heard him twice on different dates on the 4 MHz band, using different sidebands. January 31st at midnight 26th on 4117 USB. The DJ interjects quite a few comments among the tunes he's playing from various genres, including folk and blues, and especially tunes he says he has not heard himself for many years. Then on UT Sunday, February 2nd at 0102, I found him on 4103 LSB, first playing some piano jazz music. That's too close to the Windy W Beacon, somewhere in the southwestern desert on 4102.3. I was still hearing him off and on past 0130. For at least 5 days, February 1st through 5th, I was hearing the Clinton, Oklahoma station on 1320 KCLI. Well, I was hearing their carrier, but it was dead air every time I checked, especially in the daytime and in the afternoons. Finally, on February 6th, they had resumed modulating. This one really stands out not only for lack of modulation when that happens, but for being really off-frequency about 1319.96, causing a low audible heterodyne with any station which is on-frequency. If there were video accompanying World of Radio, as there is on my original recording, you would now be seeing Estrella TV from Channel 48, quote-unquote, in Oklahoma City, KOCY. This is of note because they have just changed their logo. It had been a multicolored 5-point star, but now it's a blue star of only 4 points. This change was made on February 4th. The old logo can still be seen on some of their shows, like on a mug, but not on the bug. On their website, they explain that they are enthusiastically beginning a new era for their faithful viewers because the organization has been rebranded Estrella Media. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, notes another error from Emirlar, Turkey, where something is always wrong. You're the voice of Turkey in the Azeri language on 11530, February 3rd at 08 to 0855, instead of the scheduled frequency of 11710. You may recall that 11530 is the place where the Kurdish clandestine Dengue Welat is operating and is being jammed by Turkey. In fact, it was on the air between 06 and 08 on 11530 via Pridnestrovia. The Turks must have forgotten to change the frequency of their jammer. Wolfgang Büschel replies about this. A switching error at TRT Emerlair instead of 11710 in the Azerbaijani language. He says that comes from doing a dissolute business behavior there. 11530, a usual frequency of Radio Dengue Welat, the Kurdistan transmitter up to 08UT in the current season. More bad news concerning the BBC. Mike Cooper forwards some press, first a story from AP of February 5th, UK government at odds with media eyes BBC funding change. Britain's government announced it's considering a change in the way the BBC is funded that would severely dent the coffers of the nation's public broadcaster. PM Boris Johnson's Conservative government, increasingly at odds with the country's news media, said it would hold a public consultation on whether to stop charging people with a criminal offense if they do not pay the annual levy that funds the BBC. In 2018, more than 121,000 people were convicted and fined for license fee evasion. Five people were imprisoned for not paying their fines. The license fee generated 3.69 gigapounds for the BBC last year. Estimated removing criminal sanctions for non-payment would cost the broadcaster about 200 megapounds a year. And there's a New York Times story, February 5th, headlined, Johnson and BBC trade jabs as war on the press flares. The rancor has inevitably drawn comparisons to impeached acting President Trump's clashes with the White House news media, but Johnson has avoided Trump's inflammatory language. The primary target of his wrath, BBC, is a revered institution that occupies a place in Britain unlike the president's favorite targets, CNN or MSNBC. Of course, there's much more detailed background info in these stories if you can find them. Via Rusty X, but apparently originating with Sky News, at the age of 96, the oldest radio host Nicholas Parson has died. British actor, TV and radio host Nicholas Parsons died after a short illness at the age of 96, the BBC's oldest presenter, BBC News reported. He was the host of Just a Minute, which aired for over 50 years. From 1971 to 83, he also hosted the Sale of the Century program, one of the most successful shows of his time. Just a Minute was a British TV and radio show since December 1967. About 950 episodes were created. Participants had to talk for a minute on a random topic that they received on a card. They must pronounce their monologue without rehearsal, without hesitation, and without deviating from the topic. Yes, we really enjoyed hearing those shows with Nicholas Parsons, which you will certainly not hear currently, even during this new hour of transmission added by BBC World Service. According to Ivo Ivanov, it's via Singapore, 01 to 02 UT on 11995, aimed northwest. Here's an interesting frequency to monitor for some U.S. military traffic, 13927 USB. You may not hear anything at first, but if you sit on it for a while, you might hear, as I did February 5th at 1527, Rode 33 with an engine issue returning to Andrews in contact with Mars Radio 3 Juliet, India. And then February 6th at 1933, another flight called Yankee 75 was getting phone patches thanks to Mars Radio 4 Yankee November. February 3rd at 1911, I was very surprised to find a new frequency for Radio Marti with a conversation about the station itself, 15740, loud and clear with no jamming, and still on the other Greenville frequencies, 13820, 11930, and 11860, the lower two heavily jammed. Well, I happen to know that 15740 is normally just an open carrier warm-up for the VOA French broadcast at 1930, 10 kHz away on 15730. The warm-up is 10 kHz away because it's already occupied by VOA in French via Botswana in order to avoid clashing with that, and then they switch sites and frequencies at 1930. The next day was back to open carrier, no Radio Marti. Certainly a surprise to the Cubans and of little use to them are some DRM tests from Greenville carrying Radio Marti programming. I was first hearing this around 7345 February 4th before 16UT. Those must have been initial tests. Soon information via Walt Samaniv emerged from the DRM-NA forum. Faber says on 4 February, OCB began testing Radio Marti in DRM. A Continental 617A, 50-kilowatt ISP transmitter, a Transradio DMOD 3 DRM modulator, and a content server from RF Mondial. Antenna, a rhombic BR31, oriented 174 degrees, true. Peak power around 50 kilowatts. DRM average power just over 5 kilowatts. Check 41 meters for further tests. Further info on the DRMNA info blog. Never mentioned the frequency or the times this was being heard. But someone said there were two programs on DRM, Radio Marti on one, and Jazz with the late Willis Conover on the other. On February 5th and 6th, I was also hearing this DRM noise around 18UT and before 02UT, and later learned that the schedule is now from 17 until 02UT daily, and the rhombic antenna is 184 degrees. As for VOA AM, the only big signal we can hear back in deep North America off the back 11720 between 21 and 22UT. Thanks to Alan Rowe's music on shortwave, we now have the complete lineup of what kind of music is playing each day of the week. On Sunday, Country Hits USA. Monday, the Soul Lounge. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, just the hits from VOA 1. Thursday's Top 20 Countdown, and of course Friday's Music Time in Africa, although host Heather Maxwell is not aware of it. Since at least January 31st, late at night, we've been hearing a barely audible carrier and sometimes some modulation on 4980, suspected of being WRMI, a frequency they've used before, and now that's confirmed by Jeff White. He says it's using only the exciter of transmitter number 4 for testing between approximately 21 and 09UT with a 160-degree antenna. Programming varies, but including a lot of Supreme Master TV. Not sure what the exciter power would be, presumably well under 100 watts, but with plenty of antenna gain in this case. Larry Bill explains the novelty tune we heard and is sometimes played by Tim Tron on WBCQ. It's a pitch-altered version of audio from a 2006 internet meme, Leakspin, also known as Loituma Girl, and we found many versions of it on YouTube. Really fun performance, well worth watching. You can search on Loituma. As of February 6, WBCQ 6, the superstation still not heard since January 16th because of a blown screen bypass capacitor. Now some further tweets from Alan Wiener say there's an additional problem. The PA tube socket screen ring shorted out again and is being rebuilt. Originally 50 kilowatts, KCKN 1020 Roswell, New Mexico has been on low power 1 kilowatt since a fire at the site last year and slightly off frequency. But now, Paul Walker in Wyoming says he's hearing it again with a much better signal and it's back on frequency. Huge layoffs at iHeartMedia stations. DJs and journalists losing their jobs, according to RadioInsight.com via CIDX Messenger. John Fisher points out one of those stations, WBZ in Boston, is appealing for listener support to save WBZ1030.com. On Howard, California reports Radio Vanuatu 5040 consistently cuts off the air at 11 seconds before 1100 UT. That should be easy to remember. Propagation alert from Boulder, ANK indices 5 and 2 from February 10th, but a peak of 12 and 4 was on February 6th and again expected February 26th. Solar flux rising slightly from 70 to 72 by February 17th. World of Radio 2020 concludes. I'm Glenn Hauser with a standard disclaimer.